everyone, and welcome to the 2022 MNWA Minnesota Wiffleball Association Award Show. This is the Wednesday edition of the Holy Commutes podcast, but this week it is Award Show Central, Austin.
That's very exciting. Normally we do not do award shows, and normally we just do our awards via Twitter, so this is different for us, and this is fun. You are the only one that knows the outcome of the... or the results of the voting, so...
That's right, and and we have all the awards...
It's exciting.
...for this season that we had that just wrapped up a couple weekends ago here in MNWA in Minnesota in our winter and spring season. For the Minnesota Wiffleball Association, we had our largest rookie class ever, and that led to some pretty stiff competition for Rookie of the Year and even a lot of influence in other places as well. So we have a lot of new faces in these awards, and we have some new names for a couple of the awards too, so we're going to get to that later on. We're going to start by going over the third team All-MNWA. We have three of those this year. The first time ever we've done three, but that's because it's the first time we've been this big since we've been doing that. And that's recognizing the top talent in the league, like how they do All-Pro and NFL, stuff like that, All-American type of award. And then after that, we're going to do Manager of the Year and Most Improved. And then we will do the second team All-MNWA, followed by Rookie and Fielder of the Year. And then we'll reveal First Team, along with MVP and Pitcher of the Year. So let's get it started, Austin, by revealing the All-MNWA team, the first one for 2022.
Here we go. Let's do it.
All right, Austin, you have made this. You've made an All-MNWA team three years in a row, and it's going to be 4 years in a row because you are on this team, along with Wade Cooper and Keith Pavone from the Knights, aka Web Gem and Torpedo, and then Eric Gunderson from the Camels and Matt Newell from the Buxtons.
Wow, that is that's a damn good team right there.
Yeah, Matt Newell has been on an All-MNWA team for every year since 2017. Wade, this is his second All-MNWA. Keith is also his second. Eric's second. He was on the first team last year, as well as you and Matt.
Wow.
So, yeah, tell me about those guys and what do you think?
I mean, all those guys are absolute dogs when it comes to this year. I mean, last year you had guys that like Eric Gunderson could have won MVP last year, so for him to still just be putting up amazing numbers, like he didn't do quite as well as he did last year, but it's still good enough to be on third team. Wade Cooper put up really good numbers and he could easily been in the MVP race, and him to end up on the third team, it just means that this year is really stacked and it was a good team. So who else we got on there?
Yeah, and then we had a Torpedo from the Knights, yeah, as well. And
he had like a four something average.
Yeah,
like,
and oof. he's always up there in home runs and RBI too. He's just such a consistently good hitter, whether it's big bat, little bat, whatever speed. Keith is pretty good at hitting. And then Matt Newell, of course.
Yeah, Matt Newell.
The old vet.
Old dog out there.
He was still just unbelievably good. Like he is every year.
Yeah.
His pitching was really, really good. Underrated, I think, just because the Buxtons missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that might have led to him, because I think I put Newell on my second team. Because I think he had really impressive pitching numbers, and he's always getting better hitting. Like as he gets older, his hitting is just getting better and better.
His hitting has gotten a lot better. I mean, he could go for most improved as well. With liability hitting. Now he was one of the Buxton's better hitters. So
yeah, liability well, but now he's clutch well. Clutch so well. You know, you got one inanimate object, and but another All-MNWA nod. For the well, and yourself, of course. You had another great year.
Yeah.
Another above 300 year hitting, and your pitching was way definitely overshadowed by your teammates, but still very, very good. So I think a very well deserved nod for you as well, making it your, I believe, fourth in a row.
There we go. Fourth in a row?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now on to our first individual award of the morning, and that's going to be Manager of the Year. Austin, this was your award last year. You were manager of the year last year. I was manager of the year before that. So this manager of the year award had stayed in this family for a couple years now.
Yeah.
And you were actually 3 years because you were manager of the year before that.
Yeah, we hold pride.
You're a three time.
We hold pride in this. Three time?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And unfortunately, neither of us are going to be repeating as manager of the year. Although we both did get votes, the man who won manager of the year, and I think earned it, more than earned it, because of so many reasons, that's Sean Rocket Pavone, the manager of the Knights. Sean injured, he pulled a muscle in his groin the very first at bat of his season. And so he didn't play again until the very last game of the season. Yet he still had perfect attendance, as did his brother Keith, who we spoke about earlier. And he's always so diligent and clear with his stat taking and helping out and getting stuff organized for his team. He's just been such a reliable manager for the league the last couple years that he's had this franchise. And so to see that kind of dedication to be showing up to this and organizing this, and you know, most of those guys, it's a pretty long drive for them too. So it's obvious that they care about MNWA. And so I just think I really am glad that we're getting some recognition for him, some official recognition.
Yeah, he was just a good leader for the Knights this year, and just a good role model for the league. What he did for the Knights is helped spark a really good run for them that helped push them to the playoffs. And
the two seed, too.
So. Yeah, to the two seed in a really competitive division with my team and the Camels and Buxton. So to beat out those teams, to beat out the Buxtons and the Camels to snag that two seed is big. And, you know, to make a push of they want to play for the championship, and they could potentially get there with their really dominant hitting, and then, you know, just good managing moves by Rocket there. So I think it's really well deserving.
Yeah, and I mean, him putting his team together last year, because he has his four Yankees teammates from the HRL with himself, Torpedo, his brother Keith, Z-Dog, and Neutron, aka Tyler Rasmussen. And then he added a couple other HRL veterans, longtime friends, Wade Cooper and Hader. And so just to build that team and then maintain that team, you know, the next year, I think it really says a lot about Rocket and those guys wanting to play for him and play at a high level for him too, like you mentioned. So
those ads were really key, and it helped, you know, having Z-Dog like right there. That's huge for them. So
yeah. So congrats to Sean, very well earned. So now we're going to go to Most Improved Player. Last year, this award went to the MVP runner-up, Eric Gunderson, on the then Bobcats. And you yourself won this award in 2019. Mm-hmm. And and lately, it's been, including your win, it's been highlighting players that made the jump from sort of a mid-level player to an elite MVP-level player, because the last three winners, Gunderson, Sam Plojas, and yourself, all of those in MVP. I mean, yourself and Sam both won MVP that same year, and Eric, like I said, was MVP runner-up. And so, and that's a little different from the very first award, the couple winners that we had in Ryan Macklin, Kevin Knutson. Because those were guys who were sort of on the bottom tier of players in MNWA who made the jump to not only mid-tier but decent players. And the winner of this year is very much in that same vein, and that's Tavon Sarabor from the Condors. He is the most improved player for MNWA. I know he's a close friend of yours.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think that's amazing. I think he really earned it this year. I think he took a big step up in just his play, and when he's showing up, he made a big contribution to the Condors and just helped them get to that playoff spot in that three seed. And he really likes the game, really likes just everything about it, and he's just wanting to learn so much. And I think that there just shows how much that, you know, he can, you know, he kind of earns it. So
yeah,
I think it's really, really deserving for him.
Yeah, me too. Like you said, he loves the game so much. And last year he went hitless on the year and he played in all the games. And so it was tough to see because it was, you know, he went hitless and it was kind of for a reason because he just wasn't very good. And it was mostly strikeouts, like looking at a strikeout to at bat ratio. It was very, very strikeout heavy. And so to go from that to this year, he hit 130, and that's not much, but that's 130. And he had hits off of Mippy 5, and he had RBI, and his on-base percentage was 150 points up from last year as well. And he just looked, and his strikeouts were so fewer than they were last year. He was putting so many more balls in play and getting the bat on the ball and fouling stuff off. Like, it was just so night and day from 2021 to 2022, Tavon. And I'm not the only person who thought that, and people who didn't vote on these awards, because all these awards are voted for by the managers. I should have mentioned that at the start. But people who don't vote for these mention, man, it's so good to see Tavon make such a big step in, you know, in getting better at wiffle ball. And so it was a very noticeable thing. And so it's just, and it's really good to see, again, just like the last award with Sean, something, you know, a way to kind of acknowledge someone who's really dedicated to the game and loves the sport.
Agreed.
Yeah, so congrats to Tavon, the most improved player.
Good for him, man. He deserves it.
All right, so now we're going to go to our second team, all MNWA. So these are the players ranked 10 through 6 by the managers. The previous team is theoretically 15 through 11, because we're going through the top 15 players here. So second team, all MNWA. We had 4 first-time appearances on an All-MNWA team. We'll start with the grizzled vet of this team, and that is John Cronin,
yeah,
who, like yourself, this is his 4th time being on All-MNWA. Just been very dominant, synonymous with winning and championships the last few years. Not much you can say about that, right, Hunt? Right?
No, yeah, John being there doesn't shock me. He was either going to be second and third in my mind, and I think I voted for him second as well, too, so I think that's a good spot for him, and John, you know, John's John. He's one of the best players in the league.
I think he had a far better year at the plate this year, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. He was hitting, most of the year, he was hitting about 500, and yep, then the last few weeks, it kind of dipped down to maybe 3 or 4 or something, but John was one of our better hitters this year, for sure.
And on to the first-time appearances on this list. We have 2 rookies who are also appearing on this list, the first being Wally Nightmare Awoyanka from the Bobcats and Taylor McNulty from the Topes. What do you think about those 2 guys?
Great first year for Taylor McNulty, making the second team, All-MNWA second team. I think that's just a really big splash for him with his fast pitching and really powerful hitting, and he just makes so much contact on the ball. So I think...
And you didn't even mention his pitching.
Yeah. Well, his fast pitching with... once he really locks that down, I mean, there's really no telling where that he can go. And great for Wally to get on the list, too.
He hit over 400 his rookie year.
That's... crazy. I mean, a rookie year, I mean, obviously in like terms of that, but like an MNWA rookie year hitting over 400's very good for him. So also I think he had a really good ERA as well too, you know, the Bobcats stable horse in that pen. So when he's on, he's their best player, and some nights they need him, he unfortunately missed. So
yeah, I think that if he hadn't had other commitments that night, on that last night of the season, I think they would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think, I think that might have played out a little bit differently in that final night.
He's a great player, great first years for those two.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully he sticks with it. And he started throwing some fast pitch, which I did not expect Wally to do that. And so to see that was really cool because he pitched well. And I hope he keeps trying that out. And then we also have Dan Dean, Huck Finn from the Mambas, and wow. Matt Piesert from the Isotopes.
Man, Dan had an incredible year. Hit over 400, had about a 2.5 ERA.
I think it was far better than that.
Well, actually, no, it was probably a lot better. No, I'm thinking of Matt's ERA, yeah.
I think Matt's was sub-1.
No, Dan's was sub-1. Matt's was...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Dan's was sub-1.
Yeah, Dan's was, I think, sub-1, and you're correct. Incredible year. MVP-type year from Huck Finn, the commish of HRL. Absolutely the best hitter on the Mambas and just the leader of that team. It's evident to see, yeah.
Yeah, and Matt was just... He was so much just the MVP of the Topes this year. He pitched every week, and he pitched well every week. He had one week where the balls just got, they were flying out that night.
Oh yeah.
And he let in some runs, but other than that, in the two starts he had against the Mambas, he had no hitters in both. He's so crafty. He wants to throw fast, and so we might see that in the playoffs, you know. But he was just also really good at the plate. He was in the running for most home runs. He had a ton of RBI again, and he's just so fundamentally good and probably one of the best, if not the best, leadoff hitter in the league. And so it was just really fun to watch him have an all-MNWA season. And so for him to make it and for the first time, second team, just big congrats to Matt. It's very well earned. He was just so super good.
Yeah, Mr. Consistent there for the Topes.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. And it's and I'm really glad that people recognize that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times consistency isn't going to get a lot of headlines, but, you know, Matt did that.
Yeah.
All right. And so now let's move on to some more individual awards. We're going to go with Rookie of the Year.
Big one here.
Yep. This one's been dominated by HRL players the last few years as the league has been growing, and that is no different this year. We had votes for several guys, including Nightmare, whom we spoke about in the last segment about the All-MNWA. He had a vote for Rookie of the Year, along with Matt Adams, a true rookie from the Condors, who I really think was... probably the best true rookie this year. He's a good player, and you know, I wish there was if anybody from Hopkins is listening and needs a guy, he's someone who I can see being really good with some more exposure and practice, and that includes pitching.
Puts the ball in play. He's insane, man.
He's a ball player, and he's super raw. He's got a lot to learn, but once he gets there, he's going to be really good. So he got some votes too, but the Rookie of the Year is going to go to Will Grass, Dumpy from the Elites. Austin, tell me about your rookie.
Yes, Dumpy Will Grass had a very, 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 very good year for the Elites. He threw about 16 innings, zero runs allowed in that.
One hit
allowed. Had an insane, incredible year pitching. Pitcher of the year type year, and unfortunately got hurt there at the end, and hit about 300 or 400, and was just always putting the ball in play and driving in runs, and was just such a good bat to have in the lineup. And I thought he deserved it the most, and it was a great first year for him.
Yeah, he took to MNWA so quickly. Mm-hmm. The very first week he was helping with setup without being asked. And so that really stood out to me just as commissioner right off the bat. So I was really excited to see what kind of year he had, and just to see him dominate on the mound like he did. And he's just got such a big future ahead of him, not only in HRL, but in fast pitch wiffle ball, talking UWIF, talking NWLA. It's just Dumpy has got this is his rookie year in fast pitch, I would consider. I know he started in NWLA last year, but this was also his first fast pitch league. So this is sort of like, I would continue his rookie fast pitch season. So to kind of cap that off with the rookie of the year here, I think that's good for him, and it's a good omen for what we're going to see from him this year in his second year fast pitch.
It's going to be fun to see what type of year he has fast pitch wise.
Yeah. Yep, very excited to see Dumpy do his thing. Now let's go to Fielder of the Year. Fielder of the Year, this one has been dominated by Arizonian Ben Capsner the last few years, and with Ben now living in Arizona, only making it back for two series, didn't get the exposure to be in consideration for this award. And usually, kind of behind the scenes, this is a smorgasbord of nominations. Sometimes this award is won by two votes because people just nominate one person and it's random. And so that's kind of what makes it exclusive, because we don't do multiple Fielders of the Year like some leagues do. But this year that was different. We had three very defined candidates, and they each had multiple votes. One of them had more. Let's start with the two that didn't. It was Luke Mippy5Thompson and Austin Hovis. They each had two votes, and they're both absolute magicians in the field, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Both of them are two of the best fielders in HRL and MNWA.
In the country.
In the country, of course. Yeah, like, they are incredible.
Yeah, but the one who's taking it is another rookie, and that is Matt Dean from the Camels.
Yeah.
He is a Fielder of the Year. He won Fielder of the Year, the Sticky Paw Award for Hopkins in 2021. So he has back-to-back wiffle ball seasons with Fielder of the Year nods. That's pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Matt made a huge splash a few years ago, fielding-wise, in HRL, and made some flashy plays that really caught some eyes. And ever since then, he has just been on fire and one of the better fielders in any, you know, in the country. I would say he's very good.
Yeah, see, it's like every other week someone's like, oh my god, did you see that play that the Wish made?
Yeah.
At throughout the summer, and now he's bringing his talents to Egan, so he's going to be able to show off in a whole other league. So it might be his third different Fielder of the Year award all in the same calendar year.
Very
so
easily could be.
He's so, yeah,
very enthusiastic to watch fielding, and I'm glad he won it.
Yeah, he brings it. Certainly well-deserved.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to get to the Big Hitter Awards of the morning, and that is starting with the first team, all MNWA. And we're going to do this in no particular order. First team, all the top five players in the league as voted by the managers. Luke Mippy5Thompson, this is his third first team all MNWA nomination in his third MNWA season. Zach Green from the Mambas, who was on second team all MNWA last year. Matt Dean from the Camels, who we just spoke, a rookie debuting on the first team all MNWA. You do not see that often. You had it last year with Erica Gunderson, and we have it again with Matt Dean from the Camels. Will Grass from the Elites,
yeah.
Dumpy. Like you said, he was Rookie of the Year. He had Pitcher of the Year type stuff and a great season at the plate. Unfortunately, his season was cut short by injury, but he still managed to make it a first-team All-MNWA nod season.
Yeah.
So good for him. And finally, Evan Civit in the least climactic reveal of the evening.
Yeah.
Evan Civit.
No one saw that coming, I think.
This is also his third straight first team all MNWA award for Evan. So let's talk about Mippy 5 and Evan for a minute. Let's hear about Evan. So that's both of our teammates.
Yeah.
Mippy 5 for the Topes, Evan for the Elites.
I mean, Evan is just shown that he, I mean, last year, the MVP season he put on was incredible.
MVP Pitcher of the Year.
MVP Pitcher of the Year performance he put on was astounding. And to go out there and just still produce the seasons he does and just still remain at the top of the league, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to do that in almost everything he does. So it just goes to show how good of a player he is, and just being consistent and being the best at what he does. So
yeah,
I always think I'm confident he's one of the best pitchers in the league and the best hitter in the league. And Also an incredible fielder too. He can really do it all, and he elevates the play of everyone on the team as well too.
Yeah, no doubt. Mippy Five, he had a season. I would liken it to a Stone Cold fighting against Vince McMahon like season, because he just had all the chips stacked against him by his own manager, myself, the commissioner. I was actively just working against him week after week, and he was able to overcome those odds of me trying to see him fail and have a great season once again. And I mean, this is, like I said, this is another one where third time he's on the first team All-MNWA. He's just an insane wiffle ball player. There's nothing orthodox about him. But he's just so great to watch, and I love the fact that he's on my team, and I get that I get to watch him, and I think that's why I'm so hard on him.
Yeah,
is because I need to push him. Yeah. Because you know what, when you're a YouTube famous celebrity and everybody loves you, and everybody, you know, all the girls want to be him, all the guys want to be in him, and it's just when you're like that, you have to be brought back down to earth. And so that's what I do, and it's worked so far. So I just hope that this doesn't really inflate his ego for the playoffs. And I think that that's probably going to be my number one thing worrying going into these playoffs for the Topes, is how am I going to stack it against Mippy? Because that's the only way that we can get him to do well.
Because otherwise, he's just a train wreck.
With that, let's move to our two top awards, the MVP and the Pitcher of the Year. Now, earlier I had mentioned that we had some name changes, and this is something that I've seen other leagues do in the past, where they kind of name their awards after, you know, players who are in their league and have, you know, big historical significance. And and I decided that we're going to do that for MNWA, and so I decided to rename these two awards after the two first recipients of the awards, and the fact that those two guys who got these awards were so influential on MNWA for so long. And when I look back at the award history, and it's just their names are just scattered throughout the history of this league at every level, without fail. And yeah, and it just means a lot to me, because I feel really bad that these guys aren't in the league anymore, and I miss having them in the league a lot, you know, especially, I mean, both of them. Yeah. They're founding fathers of this league. They're two of the five people that founded this league, along with myself and you and Riley Nelson. And Jordan Johnson, so sorry, six. So of those founding fathers, the two guys are Zach Bussman and Devin Nelson.
Yeah.
And the Zach Bussman Award is going to be the Pitcher of the Year, and the Devin Nelson Award will be MVP.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that.
Yeah. And like I said, these two are the two first winners of these awards at that tournament in Elbow Lake, Minnesota. The very first final tournament of MNWA, when the Strikers were victorious, and we all voted at the end of the day, and it came down to, well, Devin and Zach are the best two players here. They're going to win one of these awards. It's just which one. And it turned out to be just so fortuitous, because, you know, it's one thing to name it after a guy who won it the first time, but Zach Bussman won four of the first five Pitcher of the Year awards. It's just, I can't explain, like, you think, it's basically what Evan Sibbett did last year, but for 4 years in a row.
And it wasn't like, but it wasn't like, the comparison now is like now, like these last few years, we've been, like, the competition has increased so much. Like, there was no one else pitching like that back then besides like Devin, but the way Zach Bussman threw it, like, no one else was pitching like that, and no one else could do what he did. So it was the way he dominated was just just unheard of. For, he had, like, in our league, it was unheard of.
He had a season in 2015, 100 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Nobody's topped that since.
No, and
nobody's
and
gotten close.
No one will, for sure. No one will.
Yeah, he, Zach, it's insane how much further ahead Zach was than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Zach and Jordan Johnson, by the way, his compatriot in those early years of MNWA. But Zach Busman, especially on the pitching side, was just something to behold forever. And, I mean, he went into HRL and did the same thing. He was dominant in HRL.
Yeah.
That was his style. So, Zach Busman, the Pitcher of the Year Award. And it's fitting that the Zach Busman Award this year is going to go to Zach Green of the Mambas. Zach put together one hell of a season pitching. He had a 1.2 ERA. But if you look past that and dig deep into the stats, you see that he had one game where he allowed runs. He started five complete games, and he had four shutouts. One hit in those four games. In those four shutouts, he had one hit. And you can say, what? Who were those games against? They were against the Elites and the Isotopes twice, along with the Condors. So that is three playoff teams and two number one seeds. So he was the strikeout champion for the second straight year with 61 strikeouts. He averaged 11 strikeouts over... he averaged 11 strikeouts a game. I think by the end of the year, he was throwing high 80s, teasing 90. And, you know, to close out your year, he shut you guys out.
Yeah.
What did you see? He was your teammate last year at UWIF, and he didn't have a super successful tournament there, but he turned it around, and now we have a new pitcher of the year.
Yeah. I wonder how many strikeouts he had this year compared to last year. Because it just seemed like he was so much further ahead of everyone else. His rate of striking out, I mean, that's almost averaging just a perfect game.
Yeah, it's 11 out of 12 outs or strikeouts.
So, I mean, that is just, you know.
In another just interesting stat, the one game that he allowed runs, he had 12 strikeouts.
Yeah.
So every out was a strikeout.
It was an incredible year for him. He really... took a step up, I think, from last year. Last year with the Condors, you could see him flourish with being that, you know, he was their ace, and you could see him like, oh, he almost has it. He just needs a little bit more time.
He had 39 strikeouts last year, 21 earned runs.
Yeah, and just what a step up this year, and what a just learning curve of learning just more fast pitching, getting more into it, and the more and more he practices, the more dominant he's going to get. No telling if he's going to slow down, because he just seems like he's going to get better and better as time goes on. So
he's going to be a force to be reckoned with at the NWLA tournament this year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. With HRL?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be with HRL again. And I really think he's going to be like maybe even their number two. So I think it's a big, along with Dumpy's award, it's a big sign of things to come. And Dumpy was the other candidate for this award. There was a two-horse race. And I think that if Dumpy wouldn't have gotten hurt and was able to pitch that last week and put together another good game, this might have been down to, like, a complete tie. Deadlock. Because he just missed out. Dumpy had 14 innings pitched compared to Zach's 22. So Zach had two... Zach pitched five games and had five complete games. Dumpy pitched four and had two complete games. So I think that those are the things that separated the two when it came to these awards. You know, even though, like we said, Dumpy had the Pitcher of the Year awards, that there's a reason he got votes. And I think that Dumpy's probably going to be the favorite going in the next year, just because, like we said, one hit all season. So it's just unfortunate the way the season ended, and it's just the way it worked out with the Elites pitching staff being so big the way it was. But it worked out, and you know, like you've said in the past, it's not about that award.
Mm-hmm.
It's about winning. So hopefully that, you know, hopefully it can result in better things for Dumpy.
Yeah.
But just Zach deserved it so much with how dominant he was and how he was able to overcome that really lopsided game and just dominate the last 4 weeks. It was just really insane to see. And and I'm glad that other people were able to recognize that too. So congrats to Zach. Factor Field original. Going to be seeing him in Indy this summer for sure. And finally, we'll go to the Devin Nelson Award, the MVP. Devin won this award 3 different times. 2011, 2013, and 2016. I mean, what else is there to say? Devin basically ran this thing up until about 2020.
Yeah.
He was the catalyst. He was, you know, he and I were co-commissioners. Just talk about Devin a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we grew up playing, you know, started our little league with Devin and playing together, and those are the first memories we have together, so, you know, that's a person I just, you know, I remember very well. And then to have seen, you know, just what he did in the terms of, like, MNWA success, he had so much charisma, and he just, like, could have any two players on his team for a final tournament, and they had a chance
to win. That's basically what he did, exactly. Yeah. He was valuable. He was a multi-time final tournament MVP winner.
Yeah. I mean, you could put name A and B or X, Y, Z, like whoever, plug in there, and they could be contenders because he was just that good.
No one's been as valuable to a team as Devin in the history of the league, and so I think it's a very fitting award to name for Devin, the MVP award.
And just Devin for this league too. He really was the MVP for the league in terms of when we went to nationals. Like, he was by far just always our best player in our prime, you know, prime years, and then, you know, eventually the team evolved into whatever, but...
And he built a field at his house that was the home of MNWA forever, and, I mean, yeah. It's just... His contributions to the league are immeasurable, and so this is just a small way to honor him as he's not around as much anymore, and just hopefully he is around more, because that'd be just so great to see him come back and just play more. It's just... Yeah, he just lives a little bit too far away.
Yeah. And some injuries too, you know, like right. That happens, but...
Yep. And just dumb.
Yep. That's another big one too.
So, the winner of the Devin Nelson Award this year, the most valuable player of the MNWA, Matt Dean from the Camels. He is the first rookie to ever win the MVP award in this league. The Camels were in last place after the first 2 weeks. And after that, they didn't look back. And the reason that they didn't look back is that Matt Dean joined the fray. And he had one game of pitching 42 and let in a bunch of runs. He backed it up to the fast pitch distance and dominated. Was hitting, again, high 80s, low 90s. His knuckle is insane. If you thought it was insane in HRL, it's even more insane at following high 80s pitching. And he was the batting champion, and he was tied for most home runs with Evan Sibbett, so both sides of the ball, and fielder of the year. What a season. And it's a rookie season.
Rookie season, big year for him.
First team all MNWA, like you said.
He cleaned up the awards, and like you said on last week's program, the fact that he showed up and launch the Camels into actual contenders and competitors.
Not just a playoff team. Legitimate contenders to go to this championship.
Because they probably could have gave the Bucks a run for their money without the Wiz showing up so much. But what he brought with being their ace and being that pitcher of... I challenged him that one game. I showed up and told him to throw fast, and he did. And he brought it to us, and it was a really close game. We snuck it out, but the way he buries his pitches with his riser, his slider, and his knuckleball, it's really impressive. And he's a gamer, and it's really fun to watch him play, and he just mashes the ball, so.
He's dominated the Factor Field leagues throughout his life. He's dominated HRL in Hopkins and now in Eagan. And it's no different in MNWA. So Big congrats to Matt. I know this is going to mean a lot to him because he really loves the game, and it's just, he's another one of these rookies in this huge class of rookies that we had that just has such a bright future in this league and in the game of fast pitch wiffle, period.
Yeah.
So, I'm just really happy for him. And, and the other person getting votes for the Devin Nelson Award, it was Evan Sibbett.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, he was the winner last year. And we talked about it earlier, just another great season by him. So congrats to Matt and all the award winners, and thank you so much for joining us here on this Holy Commutes Award Show edition. Austin, thank you for your analysis and for a great season. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Trent. Thank you for tallying up everything and running the league like you always do.
Yeah, thank you. If you play in the MNWA, if you follow the MNWA, thank you so much for being with us this season. MNWA coverage not finished on Holy Commutes Wednesday edition. We're going to be breaking down the playoffs coming up, and then another week you and I are going to have Sam Skitty on, and we're going to do an MLW preview.
So
look out for that. So signing off for the MNWA Awards, this is Trent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trent, and goodbye.
Bye, Austin.
Bye.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you, I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never end? My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.